Sir Sesha Sri Srimad. ISKCON BBT, founder Acharya Sabayan Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Kijai. Nitya Lila Prabhisha Om Vishu Bhadi Sabayan Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Kijai. Ananta Koti Vaishya Vrinda Kijai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Prem Sakohosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Udita Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara. Shri Vasari Gorbhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanaya Shamakunda. Radha Kunda, Gira Govardhan Kijai. Shri Vrajamovindam Nam Kijai, Shri Navadip Maya Puridam Kijai. Shri Nilachal Jagannath Puridam Kijai. Ganga Mayi Kijai, Jamuna Mayi Kijai, Bhakti Devi Kijai, Shrimati Tulsi Mahana Kijai. Their most beautiful Lordship, Shri Shukmini Dwarkadish Kijai. Shri Shukmini Dwarkanath Kijai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Kijai, Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Kijai. Going back to home, back to Godhead Kijai. ISKCON, Los Angeles, Atra Kijai, Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai, International Food for Life Transcendental Sodom Distribution Kijai, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Kijai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the Seven Devotees, all glories to the Seven Devotees, all glories to the Seven Devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, glories to the Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritya naram shaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 7. Schedule incarnations with specific functions. Today's text is number 2. This is Lord Brahma speaking, so we'll use the Brahma Samhita meter. And since you all know that, we'll just go right into the verse. Jato ruchir ajanayat suyaman suyagya. Akutisun amaran atadakshinayam lokatrayasya mahatim aharadyadartim swayam bhuvena manuna hariritya. Jato ruchir ajanayat suyaman suyogya. Akuti sunur amaranata dakshinayam. Lokatrayasya mahatim aharadyadartim. Swayam bhuvena manuna hariritya nuktaha. Jato ruchir ajanayat suyaman suyogya. Akuti sunur amaran atadakshinayam. Lokatrayasya mahatim aharadyadartim. Swayam bhuvena manuna hariritya nuktaha. please chant. Vaishnavis, okay, synonyms, jataha, was born, ruchahe, of the wife of Prajapati, ajanayat, gave birth, suyaman, headed by suyama, suyagyaha, suyagya, akuti sunuhu, of the son of Akuti, Amaran, the demigods. Atha, thus. Dakshinayam, unto the wife of the name Dakshina. Loka, the planetary systems. Trayasya, of the three. Mahatim, very great. Aharat, diminished. Yat, all those, artim, distresses, swayambhuvena, by the manu named Swayambhuva, manuna, by the father of mankind, harihi, hari, iti, thus, anuktaha, named. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Prajapati first begot Suyogya in the womb of his wife Akuti, and then Suyogya begot demigods headed by Suyama in the womb of his wife Dakshina. Suyogya, as the Indradeva, diminished very great miseries in the three planetary systems, upper, lower, and intermediate. And because he so diminished the miseries of the universe, he was later called Hari by the great father of mankind, namely Swayambhuva Manu. We'll just go on to the purport. In order to guard against the invention of unauthorized incarnations of God by the fanciful, less intelligent persons, the name of the father of the bona fide incarnation is also mentioned in the authorized revealed scriptures. No one, therefore, can be accepted as an incarnation of the Lord if his father's name, as well as the name of the village or place in which he appears, is not mentioned by the authorized scriptures. In the Bhagavad Purana, the name of the Kalki incarnation, which is to take place in almost 400,000 years, is mentioned along with the name of his father and the name of the village in which he will appear. A sane man, therefore, does not accept any cheap edition of an incarnation without reference to the authorized scriptures. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tadamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvashesha Shunyavani Pashachadishtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vancha Kopaturu Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Beva Cha Pachitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we see that every chapter has a title. Like the title of this seventh chapter of the second canto is Schedule Incarnations with Specific Functions. But where does that title come from? Did Srila Vyasadeva give the title? As we know, he is the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a compilation of all the nectar of the Vedas in one place. So did he give those titles? Did Vyasadeva give the chapter titles? Every chapter in the Bhagavatam that we have in front of us given by Srila Prabhupada has a title. Where did it come from? When Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, did he speak in titles? Did he say, okay, now I just finished the sixth chapter which was entitled. What was the last chapter entitled? Who remembers? Purusha Sukta confirmed. So, did Shukadeva Goswami speak like that? I just finished Purusha Sukta confirmed. Now I'm starting scheduled incarnations with specific points. No. So I inquired about that because I wanted to know, where did these chapter titles come from? There was some predecessor Acharya. And so whenever I have any question, I always turn to my dear God brother and friend, Dravida Prabhu, who is the authorized chief English editor of the BBT, international, not just North America. In other words, any questions about anything that's in the Bhagavatam, refer to him. It used to be Jaidvaita Swami, but he stepped down. So that title now is officially with Dravida Das. So if any questions that you have about the contents of the Bhagavatam or any of the other books that Prila Prabhupada wrote, you refer to him. So he told me that Prabhupada gave these titles to these chapters. In other words, if you go and look at some other English edition of the Bhagavatam, you're not going to see these chapter titles necessarily. These chapter titles that we have in our Bhagavatam were given by Srila Prabhupada. So, scheduled incarnations. When we think of a schedule, there must be a scheduler. Somebody who keeps that schedule, writes it down. And just like, not picking on anybody, but somebody said to me not so long ago that, you know, here in New York, we really don't need a head pujari. We just need a scheduler. Somebody to maintain the schedule, make sure the person show up for their assigned seva and fill in for them if they don't show up. So whenever there is a schedule, there must be a scheduler. So does Krishna have a scheduler, somebody who says, you know, Varaha just appeared, so now Nrisimha, get ready, you're next. You know, no, that's not our understanding. Our understanding is that just as the seasons change automatically, spring changes into summer, into autumn, into winter, and then again spring. Similarly, these incarnations are coming on an automatic schedule. It's not that somebody has to, you know, remind Lord of Sringadev, you're next, you know, please be on time. No, not like that. In the third chapter of the first canto, we had 22 incarnations listed. Does that mean that's all there is? No. Because after the 22 were listed, then Sutta Goswami said, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable. Just like rivulets coming from a source, there's no, you can't, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So the incarnations of God are like that. Even though some names are given, and there are 10 prominent ones, as given by the poet Jayadeva Goswami, Dashavatar Stotra, still, they're innumerable. And they include not just the direct expansions of the Lord, but also what we call Shaktavesh avatars, empowered living entities. So, again, they're coming on a schedule. There's not necessarily some scheduler, because as we know, Prabhupada recite this verse from the Upanishads quite often, Atasya karyam karanam chabidyate, natachamaschajya prakashyate. Parasi Shaktir Vividaivashuriti Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. So the Supreme Lord has nothing to do. Natasakaryam. There's no one seen to be equal to or greater than him. His energies automatically perform all the functions that need to be performed. So again, it's not like somebody has to, you know, calculate, and it just, it's automatically going on by Krishna's desire. So these incarnations, now Lord Brahma is speaking. He's not going to go through the same list that we had in the third chapter of the second canto, of the first canto. He's just again giving a summary, an overview to Narad Muni. Because first of all, he knows that Narad Muni already knows all of this. Narad Muni is asking so that we can be edified. Narad Muni knows, he's coming directly from the spiritual world. He knows what's going on here. But he's asking so that Lord Brahma can, first of all, clarify who he is. Because from our position, without that clarification, we wouldn't know. If we were walking down Venice Boulevard and all of a sudden somebody came riding in on a swan with four heads, you'd think that maybe this is God. Who wouldn't think like that? You don't see four-headed people everywhere and not too many characters riding around on swans. So, you know, you will be confused. So, within the Vedic culture, without clarification from the superiors, it's very easy to become confused, to think that Lord Shiva is supreme, to think that Lord Brahma is supreme, something like that. Or even lesser demigods, people think are supreme, just because they get some benefit from them. But this is not the position. We're hearing from this authority in our line, our disciplic succession, Lord Brahma, about his position and Krishna's position. He's speaking here now how things progressed. So let's just look again at the names that were mentioned today. The Prajapati first begot Suyogya in the womb of his wife, Akuti. So some of these names we know. Akuti is one of the three daughters of Swayambhuva Manu, right? Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. Was probably most famous because she gave birth to Kapiladev, yes. So that will be referenced later on. Suyogya as the Indradeva. So this points out to us that Indra is a position. It's not one particular person. And the person that occupies the post of Indra changes on a regular schedule. So when Suyogya was Indradeva, he diminished the great miseries in the three planetary systems, upper, lower, and intermediate. Where are we right now? Intermediate. And because he so diminished the miseries of the universe, he was later called Hari The name Hari means one who takes away, by the great father of mankind, namely Swayambhuva Manu. In the 10th canto, we have the pastime of Krishna asking Uddhava to go to Vrindavan because he knew that the residents of Vrindavan, including his mother and father, were experiencing great separation. So Uddhava goes to Vrindavan with a letter from Krishna, and he's greeted very nicely by Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. They bring him in their home, they worship him, they feed him, they seat him nicely. And then Nanda Maharaj is relating how they're seeing Krishna everywhere and simply thinking about Krishna. They see his footprints and they think like that, and then he chokes up. He can't say anymore. And Mother Yashoda is similarly afflicted. She is can't speak. Milk is flowing from her breast. She's tears are flowing from her eyes just thinking of Krishna. So then Uddhava, first of all, glorifies them. He says that your great exhibition of love for Krishna is the highest benefit that you can have in life. You can't attain or achieve anything higher than that. In other words, you're already on the highest platform of existence by having such great attachment to Krishna. But then he starts instructing them about Krishna's position. He says, Krishna doesn't have any mother, he doesn't have any father, he doesn't have any wife, doesn't have any relations, yet he's related to everyone. He's related to everyone. He doesn't have any particular friend, or he doesn't consider anybody to be an enemy. He's equally disposed to everyone. That's just his nature. So in other words, he's glorifying them for being attached to Krishna, but he's pointing out that the reason why he's not here right now is because he has some other business to take care of. And ultimately, no one is his son, no one is his father, no one is his mother. It's just because he is the source of everyone. Then he also says a nice verse. He says, everyone is Krishna's mother and father. At the same time, he is Krishna. He's Krishna is everyone's mother and father. Kind of eye-opening. He says, everyone, in other words, all living entities can be considered to be Krishna's mother or father. But at the same time, Krishna is the mother and father of everyone. And Krishna substantiates that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Pitaham Asya Jagata Mata Data Pitamaha. He says, I am the father of everyone. Pitaham Asya Jagata. I am the father of the whole universe. I am also the mother. Because sometimes people rightfully ask, why does God have to be male? It's not just male, Krishna says. Mata also. I am also everyone's mother. Data, I am the sustainer. Pitamaha, I am the great grandsire. So Uddhava, again, he's instructing the residents of Vrindavan, particularly here with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And he explains Krishna's position that, again, you are considering yourself to be his mother, you're considering yourself to be his father, but actually he doesn't have any mother or father. And he is everybody's mother and father. But at the same time, every living entity can be considered to be, because we have the potential to be in that role. If our love is as strong as that of Yashoda and Nanda, we could be in that role of mother or father to Krishna. And we see they're not the only ones. In this particular pastime appearance 5,000 years ago, first of all, Devaki and Vasudeva, they were the, you could say, the birth parents, but they didn't even get to associate with him for one day. Just a few hours. He appeared, then Devaki pleaded with him, please hide yourself, otherwise Kamsa will kill you. Can't be killed. And then Vasudeva complied and took him to Vrindavan. So not even one day of parental interaction. Then Yashoda and Nanda took up the role and became Krishna's foster mother and father. So then Uddhava says a nice verse there. If I can remember. Yeah, it says, Nachasya Karma Valo, okay? I'm forgetting the Sanskrit just now. But anyway, he says that Natchasekari Baloke. He has nowhere to do in this world. Yeah. Sat asad Misha Yonishu. He said Krishna has no work or has done no work that would cause him to take birth in the Sat, pious, asat, impious, or mixed Misha Yonishu. So why does he come here? What is he doing here? He comes, first of all, for his own pleasure, to perform these pastimes for his pleasure, and parichanaya, to protect and enliven the devotees. So somebody may say, or question, God comes into this world full of misery, COVID-19, this misery, that misery, I'm suffering, so many people are suffering, and you call that pastime? Yes, it's Krishna's pastime. So is Krishna then the cause of our misery? Can we blame him? He's performing this pastime and we're miserable in that pastime. So is it his fault? Krishna explains that in the 13th chapter. No. Karya karana karchate. Hetu prakriti uchate. Purushak sukadukana. Bokshate hetu katate. So the nature is said to be the cause of all things that are happening here, actions and reactions. However, Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam. Every one of us, we're imitation Purushas, but Krishna calls us Purusha. Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam. The Sukh, the happiness, and the Dukh, the misery that we experience here in this world, are our creation. We can't blame Krishna. It's just like now, COVID-19 around the world. So if the government says, don't go to the state of Texas, it's completely contaminated. If you go there, you'll be put in quarantine, you won't be let out. They put so many restrictions, da da da. And you decide voluntarily to go there anyway. Who can you blame? If you come down with COVID. Just like now in India, they're having a resurgence, a huge resurgence of COVID. So it's recommended that you don't go there. As much as you may like to go to the, you know, Holy Dham, this, that, that's recommended, don't go to India right now. So if you voluntarily go there and you come down with COVID and you can't breathe and so many inconveniences and problems, who can you blame? Voluntarily, you put yourself in that situation. So our situation is like that. We voluntarily put ourselves in this material world, trying to imitate Krishna, trying to become the enjoyers, and simply clashing with each other constantly, because I have my idea of what should happen, and even small things, like yesterday, you know, our Balaram, he set up the microphone stand, and I was going to lead the kirtan, but I like it a particular way, so we had a little, you know, thing there. So it's like that. Every little thing can spark, you know, fights and misery and problems. And that's the nature of the material world. You can't change that. However, we see that the pure devotees, when they come into this world, they don't get caught up in that. They don't get caught up in the little things that set people off. People are so crazy. They, you know, the air is already polluted. And Wednesday morning, like I'm a lifelong insomniac, so sometimes I'm up to like 1 o'clock before I go to sleep. So just about to go to bed at 1 o'clock, I hear this noise outside. I look at my window. I don't want to use a bad word, some genius sitting in his pickup truck, literally doing a burnout on the street. My security camera caught it. I have the clip. I can show you sometime. Sitting in his car, revving the engine, burning the tires, and the whole block was filling up with smoke. This thick cloud of white smoke was just completely, you couldn't even see the parking lot from my building. So I pulled my curtain back wide so he could see me, and I'm staring at him, and he finally looked up and he saw me and he took off. And just as he was leaving, like a huge blast of orange fire came out of the back. So we're already miserable in this material world, and we simply increase our own misery. We can barely breathe already in Los Angeles, and people do things like that to make it worse. So, you know, we are creating our own misery. It's just clear. Anybody with eyes can see that. We create our own misery. And instead of hearing from the acharyas, hearing from Krishna's pure devotees, what we can do to mitigate the situation, to make this place at least not as hellish as it is right now, and concentrate our energies on getting out of here, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Even those of us who've been reading Prabhupada's books forever, how much reading comprehension are we putting into it? I just surprise myself. You know, I've read, most of you here have read Bhagavad Gita at least one time. Many of us have read it many times. So I'm reading the 10th chapter, and you come to text 12:13, Arjuna's glorifying Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavritam, Param Ampava. And then Prabhupada starts out his purport very first sentence, he says, in these two verses, Krishna is giving the Mayavadis a chance. And it hit me. I've been reading this for years. No, it's not Krishna. Arjuna spoke those two verses. He's giving the Mayavadis a chance to understand things clearly. I'm paraphrasing. You can read the first sentence of that purport. So it dawned on me, after many years of reading that chapter over and over and over again, it finally dawned on me, no. Prabhupada is stating here that Krishna is giving, but it's not Krishna speaking, it's Arjuna. So again, who do I call? Dravida. And I pointed out, he said, yeah, you're right. However, because there are so many devotees who are opposed to the edited version of the Bhagavad Gita, now the GBC has created an editorial board to go through all the edits that were made and decide which is okay, which is not. And any new things that come up have to be referred to them. So Dravida said, well, you're right, but I have to refer to this editorial board to see what they say. So like that, we have to make sure when we're reading Prabhupada's books that we're really trying to understand what he's saying. Try to read with thorough comprehension. Otherwise, again, I asked him, I was surprised. I said, you're sure you must have noticed this before. You're the editor, or somebody else must have noticed it. He said, no. He said, all the years I've been dealing with Bhagavad Gita, nobody's ever brought this up to me, and I never noticed it. So it's like that. We're reading, but we're not really diving into it. So that's my recommendation for myself, first of all. You know, when you read, take the time to really digest what's being said here. Just like in today's verse or all the verses coming up in this chapter. Really hear and think about each word. Like Prabhupada said, every single word in the Bhagavatam is important. He said his spiritual master spoke in Dukkha on the first verse of the Bhagavatam 111. Just for months he was speaking, 6 months on that one verse. Getting into every word, what they mean, and like that. So we don't have that luxury. We can't sit here and discuss one verse for 6 months. But on our own time while we're reading, we should really try to see, do I actually understand what's being said here? And the proof that we understand is that we'll act on what's recommended. That's the proof. Otherwise, yeah, it may seem. Because, again, even Mayavadis know the Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. There are Mayavadis, they don't accept Krishna as God, but they can recite all 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So it's not just a question of memorizing. It's acting on what Krishna says and what Krishna's devotee says. Krishna said. And that's our good fortune, is that we're hearing Bhagavad Gita from a pure devotee of Krishna. So we get the real meaning, the real understanding of what is being said. All right, so I'll stop here. I think we maybe have time for one question. You were first. And if it's short, then we'll give.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Towards the beginning of the class, you said that how Indra is a post. And how people, there's different people that come in the post of Indra. We hear many times how Indra becomes bewildered and he does something that's inappropriate. So my question is it the same person who's in the post of Indra that keeps making those mistakes? Or is it just people who get the post of Indra, they become bewildered because they have so much material opulence that they mistakes like that?
Well, just like yesterday, there was a question about Varaha, that there are different appearances of Lord Varaha, and some of the details may be different. So similarly, every individual who takes the post of Indra may not act exactly the same way, but the tendency is there. The tendency is there, and we can see in ourselves. If we're not completely pure, the tendency to become puffed up is there, the tendency to commit mistakes is there, the tendency to commit offenses, just like we know Indra offended his spiritual master, Brihaspati. An offense of omission. He didn't overtly insult him, but by not getting down off his seat, then that was an offense. So there are different kinds of offenses, and from one manvantar to another manvantar, the Indra is different, and their mistakes that they make may be different, but we can categorize them in that category of the being so important. And if you're not completely pure and you take a post of high importance, then there's a tendency to make those kinds of mistakes, to be puffed up, to not recognize, sometimes not recognize your position vis-a-vis the position of God. And therefore, you make those mistakes.
I have a comment and a question. So, in the beginning, the comment is when you were mentioning about Uddhava going to Praja, he's trying to convince, well, first of all, he goes because Krishna sent him there to find out everything, how they're doing. And then he starts seeing that these people are, you know, so elevated. But in his explanations, he was mentioning things that, you know, everyone speaks according to their own realization. That was his relationship with Krishna, like gyan knowledge, which is true, what he was saying. You were mentioning Krishna is your father, Krishna is this, Krishna is that. Still remains in just philosophical. In their perception is, like Nanda Maharaj, whatever you can say, Uddhava, that's fine, but that's you, right? You're speaking just philosophy and gyan. My relationship is sweetness. So I have a special relationship. Same with the gopis and everyone. Then that was my comment. Then after that, you were mentioning that's my question now. That everyone can have a relationship with Krishna, every living entity, you know, like Mother Yasoda is the mother of Krishna. So my question is, not exactly as her position, because it appears to me in my understanding that that's her position, eternal position, and we're going to be assistants. We might have a relationship kind of similar, but is it my understanding correct or no?
Yeah, well, within the five categories of relationships that we can have with Krishna, from neutrality up to madhurya, there's still variety. It's not that every gopi is exactly the same and relates to Krishna in exactly the same way. No, there's still variety. Every entity, every living entity has a unique relationship with Krishna. So even though they may be in the same category, Vatsalya or Sakya or Madhurya, still every one of those relationships is unique. So let's say in the Madhurya Ras, every gopi that's in that rasa with Krishna, her relationship with Krishna is unique. It's not exactly. Vishakha is not the same as Lalita. Everybody's unique. So similarly, there are other living entities who will have that bhava, that feeling of paternal or maternal love for Krishna. It's a particular type. We can see even here in the material world that some people make good parents. They have that really into that parental mentality of how to take care of a child and raise a child properly. And they, you know, it's just their natural bhava. Whereas others become parents, sometimes accidentally. You weren't planned, I'm sorry. You're an accident. Like that. You know, they become parents out of duty they do. And the child feels different. I know myself, I was, you know, raised in a family where my parents were very dutiful. Mother, school teacher, father, you know, bookkeeper, and they did their best to maintain their three children and the home and everything. But I noticed some of my other friends, when they would go home from school, oh, sweetheart, you're home, you know, like that. And that wasn't my... my family wasn't like that. It was a very kind of hands... You know, you do your thing, do it properly, and if you don't make any mistakes, then we don't have any negative interactions like that. My father spanked me one time because he always told me, notice I had a tendency to pick up rocks and throw them. And he said, don't do it. That's not a good habit. So, like, thick-headed, picked up a rock one day and just tossed it and accidentally hit some kid in somebody's yard, you know, down the... So when he came home and heard that, that's the only time he ever spanked. Otherwise, his way of dealing with his children was intellectual. He was a very intellectual person. So you did something, he would sit you down and you would discuss it. And for me, that was even worse than being spanked, you know, because my mother was more the, you did what, I'll chase you with a stick type, you know. And that, you just kind of laugh, you run away. But the father was very, you know, you really felt what you did and you, like that. So everybody's relationship is different. Just because somebody has isn't that Vatsalya Ras, parental Ras of Krishna, doesn't mean that every one of them is like Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda has her unique position, but so does Devaki, so do others who have that parental mood towards Krishna. So it's not that we're saying that every living entity can become Mother Yashoda. No. Mother Yashoda is Mother Yashoda. But still, every living entity has the potential to have that relationship with Krishna.
I think isn't it that Prabhupada said at one point that never think that you're going to become like Mother Yashoda. Right. You're going to become an assistant.
Yeah. Because our tendency is we always want to be the best. Okay, all right. I'm not going to be God in this material world. Okay, I'll go back to the spiritual world. So what's the best in the spiritual world? Gopi, all right, I'll be a gopi. And who's the best of the gopis? I'll be Radharani. No, you can't be Radharani. You can't be Vishaka. You can't be Lalita. You can't be any of the established gopis. You can become a gopi, or if you are a gopi in your original position, you're not Vishaka or Lalita or whatever. But we all, you know, we want to always be the top. If I'm going to be in this category, then I have to be the best. If I'm going to be a parent, then I have to be Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. No, those positions are already taken. But you can have that mood, parental mood. Just like the elderly gopis in Vrindavan, they have that mood towards Krishna, parental mood. They have that. And that's why when Krishna bewildered Brahma and he expanded himself as all the cows and coward boys, they got a chance to interact with Krishna directly as their son. Anyway, time's running, we should go. Rantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.